Good afternoon. This time of year, with only a little over 2 weeks to go till the Passover, that probably is on all our minds. So I wanted to take the time today to discuss two facets of the Passover, both what we shouldn't be focusing on and what we should be focusing on. Quite often through the years, we've heard something at this time of year. Somebody will stand up and say something like this: "Well, brethren, it's that time of year that we need to examine ourselves." And I'm never quite sure how to react to the statement. The intent is usually a good one, and we know it's based on certain scriptures, but the focus is off target. And the key to that assertion is in the very scriptures we use every year to focus on the idea of self-examination. The first one is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, which says, breaking into a thought, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And this, of course, is speaking of the Passover itself and in the sense of not taking it lightly. The other scripture is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, that says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Now, what's interesting to note about these scriptures, and it may come as a surprise to some people, they are the only two scriptures in the Bible that talk directly of self-examination. There are many others that allude to what we could look at that way. One of them is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, that says, "Let he who thinks he's standing take heed lest he fall." And scriptures of that sort are pointing toward the need in our lives to be circumspect, to guard our lives, our minds, our hearts, to remain true to God. And that's something for every moment of every day of the year, not just one time of the year. The scriptures on self-examination, which Paul wrote to the Corinthians, need to be seen in the context of which they were given and what was happening in that particular church. Read the context at some point on either side of those scriptures to see where Paul was going. Remember that this was a congregation that had basically gone over the edge, and Paul was grabbing them by their collective throat and shaking them till their teeth rattled. He was basically saying, "Wake up. You're letting something important slip through your fingers. Do you still value this?" But taken out of context, these brief passages through the centuries in the religious world have turned into a sort of unwritten doctrine that conforms too closely to the self-oriented or self-obsessed Western world in which we live. The entire disciplines of psychiatry and psychology specialize in self-exploration. Like the old joke goes, we've had over 100 years of psychology and psychiatry, and people are crazier than ever. Self-concentration, trying to forever improve the self, is not the way of God. He repeatedly instructs us to leave the self behind. That's what baptism signifies, the death of the old man, the old self, to live a new life. And when we look at life generally, we realize that no one solves a problem by staring at the problem. You have to focus on the solution and move toward that. And if God through Christ is the solution, and we are the problem, where should our focus be? Also understand about Paul's comments that, understand what he wasn't saying. He wasn't saying, "Examine yourselves to see if you're righteous enough. Examine yourselves to see if you're good enough, if you're repentant enough, if you have enough faith, if you're loving enough." He was saying very simply, "Do these things matter to you? Are the things of God of first importance to you?" In short, like the passage says, are you in the faith? Is it something you're blasé about? You don't care about it anymore. It's a very simple, it's one of those very few simple questions in life that's black and white. Does this matter? If the answer is yes, wonderful, we can move on. You're in the faith. Nothing in these scriptures can justify the self-absorption that many have fallen into at this time of year and the inevitable discouragement that comes of it. We need to remember that no discouragement comes from God. And I'll say that again. No discouragement comes from God. He reaches into our lives to lift us up, to encourage, not discourage. And many people have approached this time of the year with something of a misunderstanding that causes them to be pulled down and to almost dread it. And that simply speaks to a focus being in the wrong place, even looking at the wrong God. If that is the case, where should our focus be? Consider the analogy of driving a car. We do that enough, most of us. When you're driving down the road, the one thing in your mind's eye is your ultimate destination. And that for us, every day of our lives, is the kingdom of God. But physically, we're looking down the road outside the car, trying to avoid obstacles, trying to find the best course to wherever it is we want to go. We use the instruments, we use the rearview mirrors for what? For a brief check. If you stared at them, you'd have an accident really quick. You look at them just to make sure the car is running right and some runaway cement truck isn't sneaking up behind you to run you over. But your focus is outside and ahead of that car. That's why Paul, I should have written this scripture down, but this is why Paul said at one point that he didn't even judge himself. He did this one thing, which was to move forward toward the goal of the kingdom of God. That was his focus. And in terms of the Passover, on a very simple level, Jesus gave us twice over. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 and 25, it's recounted there. In both, eating the broken bread at the Passover meal and taking the wine, Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." So at its most basic level, the Passover is a memorial to focus our attention on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's from Hebrews 12, verse 2, or as the NIV puts it, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we're not to focus on us. We're to focus on Him. We are His workmanship, not our own. And at this time of year, more than any other, our attention needs to be on Him. This goes a step further. Any thought at all about the Passover sacrifice and the final death penalty that Jesus suffered tends to overwhelm other thoughts about His life. Remember, though, that the Passover lamb had to be a perfect sacrifice, which means it, from birth, it had to be cultivated. And perhaps before birth, because the parents had to be chosen so that you ended up with the right type of lamb. And its entire life led up to that sacrifice. And when we concentrate in on the final 12 hours or so of Jesus' life, we can overlook the fact that every moment of His life was part of that sacrifice, because every bit of it was done for us. When the Old Testament record prophesied that the Savior would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, you bet He was. That chapter, Isaiah 53, goes on to say how much he was rejected and despised, and it doesn't just mean at the end of his life. From childhood on, this was the price he paid for being the sacrifice for sin. No doubt, children and perhaps adults put him down for being illegitimate. Many viewed him as simply not fitting in. I can wait. In that sense, he lived a life more alone than we could imagine. Have you ever felt alone in a crowd, even here? How many of us at different times have come to church on the Sabbath, gone through the day, talked with various people, and by the time you leave, you feel like you connected with no one? And you wonder, okay, why did I do that? We all have days like that. But in the case of Jesus, there was not a single human being on the face of the earth that really understood him. There was no shoulder to cry on. And so it's no wonder that the scriptures talk about him going off into the wilderness from time to time to commune with his Father. And the scriptures also tell about how he was crying out to him with tears so he could stay the course. It was his communion with his Father that kept him going. Because every day he lived, he had to yield himself completely to God or fail. And failure was unthinkable. Realize, too, that Jesus and the Father had set this up from time immemorial. They could have chosen to have forgiveness of sin as simply divine decree. They could have chosen an easier route, but they didn't. They chose the hardest of routes. They chose blood sacrifice. Why? Well, if nothing else, for eternity, it would declare how much God loves us, how committed he is to this plan and to seeing us through, to bringing us into his family. The Passover itself speaks of that in the sense that it opened the door for us to come to God. It was enough for Jesus to empty himself of divinity and live a perfect life to be able to present a perfect sacrifice. Having subjected us to this life opens another part of this, though. The scriptures intimate, and I have at least one here, there are many others, that it was necessary for him to pay this price himself. For having set this process in motion, the scriptures say that it was fitting for him that he would be that sacrifice. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting or proper that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. If you'll permit the paraphrase, it's almost as though Jesus was saying, having gotten you into this, I will get you out. So we will always know who the captain of our salvation is and the depth of his love. The meanings within the Passover go on forever. So at this one time of year, a time we're told to hold a memorial, a time of remembrance of God's purposes as revealed in and through Jesus, if we can look away from ourselves, if we can focus deeply on our Creator and our brother, if we consider these things and these purposes, we'll find ourselves not only with the right and godly focus for being in the faith and being ready for the Passover, but we'll find ourselves having the deepest, the richest, the most meaningful, and the most encouraging Passover that perhaps we've ever had.